Welcome back to the Bonfire Podcast, where we talk about the UFC and mixed martial arts. I am your host, Mike Bond, longtime MMA Junkie senior reporter and MMA journalist. Hope you are all having a happy and healthy holiday season. I know it is lean times for the MMA fans out there as we go through this break and the UFC and pretty much mixed martial arts schedule in general to close the year and open up 25. The UFC break is coming to an end. Hold on, folks. Only a few more weeks. But for now, we got some great content to help you get through it. And this is a very special show for you folks. I'm very excited for this one. I've been waiting a while for this to come out. This idea cooking, and joining me on the show for the first time will be UFC Hall of Famer Daniel Cormier, the one and only. And he is here to help me rank and himself rank the five most significant people in mixed martial arts from the year 2024. What does significant mean? Well, I gave DC a pretty open criteria of how he wants to interpret that. So it'll be fascinating to see how our lists match up and what we determine to be the most significant people in the sport, for better or worse, whether they were meaningful, impactful, or maybe even brought some negativity to the sport. So we will see how DC ranks it up, how I rank it up. We will be back with him on the other side of a quick break. First, please make sure to like, subscribe, follow, rate, whatever you can do to show some support to the show, be it on the video version on YouTube or whatever audio platform you are listening to. We'll take a quick break and be right back with DC. And we are back now on the Bonfire with a very special first-time guest of the show, the final guest of 2024, none other than UFC Hall of Famer, UFC commentator Daniel Cormier. DC, thank you for being here, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. I've been home for a month. That's why you see, like, no shave, no hair shave, just living life and loving it.
Yeah, looking good, man. All the break, we kind of look forward to. This is our version of the off season, but I know you got wrestling season going on, so you're still very busy. But to kind of wrap up the year, I wanted to do, for the theme of the show, like, look it back at the year and who are the five most significant people in MMA. And I was like, who do I want to do with this? Someone who obviously lives and breathes the sport, and then someone who I know enjoys doing lists. If you watch DC and RC and all those things, so you are the perfect choice for this. So our five most significant people in MMA, DC. You could kind of go all different ways, whether you wanted to have on the fighter side, executives, managers, any way you wanted to go is kind of an open criteria here. So I will take the floor first, actually, because this one is a bit of a curveball, and I want to know what you think of this. So my fifth most significant person in MMA in 2024 was Khabib Nurmagomedov. And I have him here because obviously helped coach Islam Makhachev to a title defense, helped coach Usman Nurmagomedov to a Bellator lightweight title, and Gadzi Rabadanov. I know he wasn't in the corner for him, but he won the PFL title. So obviously spectacular stuff. He's significant in the eyes of the fans, in my opinion. He did that thing this week with like Demetrius Johnson and Islam. As someone who does a YouTube channel, this has 2.2 million views in 2 days. So, like, the people still care. But you tell me, am I overreacting to this? Like, I know Javier Mendez. I know there's other coaches who are involved with these guys. Am I rating Khabib's, I guess, impact on what these fighters have done too highly?
No. Because, honestly, when you think about what he's done with these guys, especially since 2020, he really has become the lead coach in that team, right? There's a team that trains out in Dagestan daily. They're in his gym. He's preparing these guys. And there are a number of guys that we don't even know yet that are training to become world champion. Yeah, you know, for me, I do agree with it to a degree. It feels like, though, because you remember the first year he won all the fights as a coach, and they were like trying to make him coach of the year? Mm-hmm. Because it's normal now, it feels like he didn't have as many fights. See, when you're a coach, one of your greatest assets is your greatest champion. And because we didn't see Islam much, it felt like he had less of an impactful year because of that, to me at least. But yes, I don't think you're overrating it. I think that it just feels like less of an impactful year because Islam, his prized people, only fought one time.
Yeah, that's fair. Obviously, Umar, and there's a bunch of other fighters who won.
A lot of great guys.
Yeah, so I just thought his kind of...
Even when we were at AKA as the best, AKA always seemed like a really high-level gym because every few months you roll out one of your champions, me or Kane or Khabib or Luke, right? So it always felt so present. When your greatest champion isn't fighting, it doesn't feel as much. And Islam fought once this year, just in New Jersey.
Yeah. Just in June, I know he wanted to fight again in Abu Dhabi, but had the hand injury and stuff, so that got pushed back. But yeah, I thought that was a decent choice, just given what Khabib is still contributing to the sport after the fact. Okay, who was number five on your list, DC?
For me, honestly, and the UFC is the biggest organization, so you're going to hear a lot of that from me. Hunter Campbell, right? When was the last time you heard an executive's name called as many times as Hunter Campbell? He has developed a way of relating to the athletes and their managers that make fights that seem like they won't happen or can't happen come together. You know, it was only a few years ago that he took the lead in negotiations and everything. Mm-hmm. And I can even go back to my last fight 4 years ago as a former champion. He called, it was literally, we had built a relationship over the last few years of my career that he called. Two sentences, we're going to do this, but DC, right? Same as before, and we were done. No negative. And then you build this appreciation for making the negotiations easy, because at times they can be so difficult. But just listen to the amount of fighters that not only tip their cap to Dana White anymore, but to Hunter Campbell. And that's something that usually happens. A guy like him usually plays behind the scene. But I bet anyone that's been to an event knows who that guy is now.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice. I had him on my list a little higher, so I'll reveal that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, this was the year where he came into the forefront. The Roku series that came out did a lot for him. We saw the inner workings, and he kind of became a meme, right? Like every time 300 and 303, it's like, we lost a main event, and there's the Hunter Campbell.
He's like, the right way.
Yeah, so there's that whole element of it. He doesn't do much on camera stuff at all, but after the whole Dan Ige thing happened at 303, I think it was, where he fought on like minutes notice. This has only happened, DC, like 3-4 times in me covering this for over 10 years, where Dana mid-event will come over to press row and talk to us, because it's literally on the other side of the octagon from where you guys are. And him and Hunter came over then, and they were so proud they pulled off that moment, getting Dan Ige there to replace Brian Ortega against Diego Lopez. And Hunter Campbell even gave me an on-camera comment being like, I could not be more proud of our roster of guys who always step up in spots like this. So yeah, it was a little bit of a coming out year for him. So I think that is a great choice for you.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, all right, number four.
Yeah, you go on to number four. You do back-to-back.
Oh, all right, number four, Conor McGregor. He still dominates the headlines and the world of sport, our sport, without even fighting. Mm-hmm. From the failed press conference, everybody's up in arms, to Michael. Dude, they left New Jersey, from New Jersey to Ireland to be at a press conference. I'm speaking ESPN staff, right? Big wigs. To be at Conor's press conference. They get there and nobody knows what's happening because Conor's been injured, but everybody's on standby. The whole world's on standby. Michael Chandler is on standby. Then he has obviously the issue with the court case. And I'm coming back. I'm not coming back. I've got a fight scheduled. There's never been anyone that makes an impact like this, especially when it's been so long, Mike, since he's competed. So for me, it's Conor McGregor, and that is why every single channel you see on YouTube, if they can get a Conor McGregor headline, they put that Conor McGregor headline, because Conor McGregor equates to impact, and that's exactly what this list is.
Yeah, I think that's a fair one. You could put him on this every single year. I mean, the fact he didn't compete even highlights, you know, what he still brings to the table. That gate that was, you know, 16-something million for UFC 303 was to be his.
21 million was the gate.
Wow. Okay. There you go. So it says even more. Like, that goes to show the weight he still carries. Obviously, there's a whole other conversation we could have about the personal stuff he's been going through and all that. It still is, I guess, brings an association to the sport in a better or worse way. But yeah, I mean, Conor is Conor. You laid it out well. I don't think you can, poke any holes in you including him on your list. So I think that was a great choice. I did not include him on my list though. Spoiler. So there you go.
Yeah, well, you got at four.
He was just right outside at four. I had Max Holloway. And I put him because, you know, the UFC 300 moment was the moment of the year, the knockout of the year. He felt like a superstar coming off the back of that. Got 600K in bonuses. Shout out to me for helping make that happen at the press conference. But yeah, I mean, that just, he felt like a real big guy for a large portion of the year there. So I just give it to him for creating a moment and taking the sport as a whole viral, because whether you were a fight fan or not, I'm pretty sure you saw that knockout in one shape or form against Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, it was. And I saw Chad Ochocinco talking about he could fight Max Holloway. And Shannon Sharp was like, no, you can't, Ocho. It's impossible. Yes, it became bigger than just MMA with Max. Max, the impact in that moment was great. I just think the way that the year ended makes me not have him on my list of most impactful people in 24. But at the end of the day, Mike, I did borrow money from him off of those $600,000 in bonuses, or at least attempted to. And he told me, I've got too much money already. He ain't giving me anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you need to borrow money from Max Holloway?
Just because he got it, I want it.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that was crazy. I don't know if we'll ever get back to that bonus hype. We might have to bring that question back up at UFC 400, but that's going to be a few years from now. Okay, DC, you're number three on your list. Where are we going?
I'm going to go with John Jones. John Jones is a massive superstar. And Ryan Clark put something into perspective with me the other day. We had a DCRC reunion. He goes, imagine the amount of time he has spent at the top of the sport. He has literally lived through three generations of fighters. And he's still headlining Madison Square Garden. It was not only that, though, why I say he made an impact. He made an impact because he beat the greatest heavyweight of all time. And he made it look easy. He made an impact by saying he wasn't going to fight Tom Aspinall, by dragging him along, just constantly controlling the narrative. And everybody followed that narrative. So, yeah, I got John Jones at number three for that. Like, being able to truly control almost a sport and be doing it 13 years in the game, it's impossible to see. And, yes, so, yeah, I got Jones at number three for those reasons.
Yeah, I think that's a good one as well. He definitely controlled a lot of the headlines and stuff. One of those ones where he'll tweet something out and all the sites do things and
Even
all
the Francis did, right?
Yep.
Him and Francis did a face-off at some Saudi Arabian fight card.
Yeah,
it was PFL. One of the biggest moments of at PFL. One of the biggest moments of the entire year.
No, that's
Tom Aspinall went to his appearance and tried to touch him and he fucking knocked his hand off him. Like, just those things, right?
Yeah, no, he definitely made his presence known, especially to only fight once so far in the back of the year. He constantly kept his names in the headline all throughout. So I think that was a good choice. And I think it's, you know, segues great into my number three, someone who I also feel like has done a great job keeping his name in the headlines all year. And that is Ilia Topuria, who, you know, if you want to take maybe all the outside stuff with Conor out, like, this guy's got a lot of the same traits. He makes the predictions. He lives up to them. He's got a violent knockout style, beats two of the best guys ever, you know, starts the year great, closes the year great, and constantly does that thing where he can keep his name in the headlines, whether it's beefing with Conor McGregor or training with this person, or, you know, more recently teasing a move up to lightweight and saying he's going to give up his belt. There's just always, it's very like Floyd Mayweather-esque, right? Where you just do something, even if you're not fighting, you're not around, you are always able to keep your name in the headlines. And then the performances, I don't really know how you can top what he did.
The whole thing works for Ilia Topuria. Yeah, he's a he was very impactful. He was. I think, though, for me, the reason I didn't have him on is just because it's mostly fight-related, right? Because he's such a great fighter, but we have many great fighters. He didn't seem to draw, for me at least, the interest of the fans as much as some of the other people, or the fighters as some of the other people on the list. But, yes, tremendous fighter, tremendous boxer, the great personality, the great style. Hey, man, when that dude's son walked into that ring with a rose after he beat Max, he was, I mean, they looked like the perfect family. Beautiful wife. Ilya's pretty as all can be as a man. His son's carrying a red rose. And I walk into his locker room after, and it's a complete Spanish party. It just works, Mike, for Ilia Topuria.
Do you think, given what you said there about maybe like the events maybe not being the most high selling, like, is the stage set now for 25 coming off the Max Holloway win, especially if they give him the Spain event? Like, I can't imagine what type of superstar he would come off like that entire week.
You have to beat the prior generation to take from it. It's like wrestling, right? The old champion gets pinned by the new champion to build. That's why the Ultimate Warrior pinned Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan didn't like to get pinned. Right. But they needed him to give him the rub. And right now what Ilya is going to do is take a lot of that shine from Volk and Max, especially if Volk gets a rematch and he beats him again, into what will become a global superstar. People want to like Topuria. And if he keeps doing what he's been doing, he'll give him a lot of reason to.
Yeah, last thing on him. Are you buying or selling this whole lightweight thing? Or do you think his next fight?
Right now. Yeah, he's going to fight featherweight for a little bit. I don't think that right now is the time. I think he's still got work to do at 145. Unfortunately, he's going to beat the guys that sell early. So he's going to have to carry Diego Lopez. He's going to have to carry Avloyev to numbers. Because the numbers in the weight right now and for the last 9 years have belonged to Volkanovski and Holloway. And he's going to have to carry those new guys because they don't have the cachet that these last two had.
For sure. Okay, my number two, we already touched on him, was Hunter Campbell. We already kind of said it all on him. Obviously, very influential figure. He is a guy who gets a lot of the deals done. And I think, you know, if maybe people were to predict someone who eventually steps into that UFC president role, he seems like he is being primed for that.
So. Absolutely. That's exactly what he feels like. And again, like we said earlier, man, he played such an important role. It's hard for me to have him above most of the fighters. For me, my number two is Pereira. I mean, come on. Yeah. Mike, you don't have Pereira on your list?
No, I still have my number one.
Okay, I got Pereira. I got Pereira, man. From saving UFC 300 to saving UFC 303 to fighting in Salt Lake City, Utah, in what was an absolute barn burner against Khalil Roundtree, and his ability to do what he's done with the style that he has. Nobody can wrestle him. He's making these guys fight him in the style that only he can win at. Recreating himself as a light heavyweight after getting knocked out by Izzy. Never giving up on the idea that he may go back to 185. And Mike, this man is being said to be one of the greatest fighters of all time, and he literally is an amateur. He's got 11 pro fights. He's got 11 or 12 pro fights in his career.
Yep.
And they're talking about maybe he can go to heavyweight and be a three-division champion. There is no one more impactful in terms of a fighter when it comes to 2024 than Alex Pereira. Because not only did he step up, hey, you remember him dancing in a locker room before he went and kicked Yuri in the head after watching Yuri do something, a mistake that he was making over and over again, and then doing that thing with his hands to Jamal Hill when he knocked him out? I mean, what is that? I don't even know what that is. But it became one of the most global things of all time. His things that he do with Nina Danger, like the drama danger, what's her name? Nina Danger. Yeah, the things that he does with her, crazy. He is just a massive star, man. And he made such an impact. And he would have been my number one.
Yeah, and we'll get to your number one in a moment. Leads into my number one is Alex Pereira. I thought a great choice there. I mean, carried three pay-per-views, all under unideal circumstances, marquee events, International Fight Week, UFC 300. What more can you ask there? One, obviously all of them first or knockouts, not all first round, but a couple first round. Does it in a record 175-day span, something that might not ever be beat. I don't know. Like if you look at the champions right now, I was just looking before this, like, Who else is out there that might get three title defenses next year? If you look at, I mean, maybe Islam if he fights, you know, January. It's all about scheduling, right? When it kind of comes to that, if you're not but fighting,
Alex did it in like April, June, and September, August.
I know, it's unbelievable. So all those things are his. I was in Toronto before the fight at the beginning of the year with Strickland Duplessis. He did which is where I live, obviously. And he did like a signing in the middle of our biggest train station, and the lineup and the amount of people around him was just unbelievable. Doing all this as a non-English speaker. I mean, it's all there. I don't really know.
He doesn't even talk English. Like, but it's everywhere, right? It was in South Korea. Did you see him in South Korea? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just everywhere. The guy's a superstar. You know, he told me a couple years ago that he can still go to the grocery store and he can still live like that. He goes, he can't do that anymore. Not in Brazil and not in the United States. How much of a star this man has become.
Mm-hmm. And if he keeps it up for another year or two, I brought this up like a while ago, and it seems a little bit putting the cart before the horse, but he could, if he wins Fighter of the Year, it'll be close, but he has a case for fighter of the year in three of the past 4 years. If he does this one more year, he might be the fighter of the decade when we get to the end of the 2020s. And I know you were one of those for the 2010s for us. So this man is unreal. Everything he's doing. We'll see where he takes it. Okay. Just one more to reveal here, DC. Who is your number one most significant person in MMA in 2024?
I mean, for as long as we've done this, it's been Dana White. Yeah. You know what? It really has. It has been Dana White just because he continues to push the boundaries of what the sport is, continues to be the lead in so many different things. I've seen some other guys now start to step in. Obviously, Lawrence Epstein is a massive part of everything the UFC does, but from negotiating to just truly trying to continue to make the UFC bigger, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know that I ever thought the UFC could reach the level of what it is today and how it's viewed, but it doesn't happen without Dana and his vision and what he wants for this company, from the constant travel to honestly being a part of the presidential election to bringing, like, power slap has become a thing now, opening up Saudi Arabia. Like, there's just so many different things that he's done to continue to elevate the sport. And then going into this next television rights deal, it's going to be even bigger. And none of that happens without the guy that is at the forefront. He can be a bit bullish at times, but I believe that's what makes him special. Hell, ESPN First Take was at the apex for the last 2 days, Mike. Yep. Who would have ever thought that would happen?
I know. Yeah, that's a great choice. I was debating putting him at one. I was going to make him a co with Hunter at two. I just felt like putting him on here was like almost too easy, and I wanted to share the level a little bit, but yeah. I had a feeling you might put him on there and we were going to be able to talk about him anyways. But yeah, like, just because he's in my top five, it's no slight. He's like a default number one to a degree as well.
So. Honestly, it really is. Yeah. It's almost like every year, we should almost make it the way you omit him, because then he's just like number one and then everybody else kind of comes behind him, because it just doesn't work without the guy.
For sure. And I mean, let's say you did take him out there. I know you had an honorable mention you want to shout out.
Yeah, the Sheik, Prince Turkey. Yeah, dude, this dude, the fact that he has been able to bring those massive pay-per-views out to Abu Dhabi, Power Slab now is in Abu Dhabi, and now Abu Dhabi's honestly become and maybe I'm still giving Abu Dhabi credit for becoming Fight Island and doing what it did. But, dude, it's just become like an event every single time we go there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Turkey Ali, I want to just make sure that people recognize. And, Mike, the Sphere, the greatest promotion we've ever done. It was Riyadh Season presents the Sphere. When was the last time you saw a company or an entity go before UFC?
Never. Riyadh Season. First time.
First time presents UFC 306, and he was there. Yeah. Turkey was there, front row as the guy that made that happen.
For sure. No, that's a great shout as well. He is changing the landscape of combat sports in many ways, boxing and MMA. So yeah, I think that puts a great bow on kind of this discussion, DC. Before we wrap the show here, do you have a most significant moment for you in 2024, something that stands out, whether it was, you know, a fight you watched or something you did personally?
You know, just kind of being a part of it. Every single pay-per-view, just feeling the vibe, feeling the energy, feeling the enormity of what the UFC is, from traveling the world, being up at 6 a.m. watching Leon Edwards walk through the Octagon in Manchester to going from Manchester to Abu Dhabi. It's been a crazy travel year for me in regards to the UFC, but I don't think I would change it for anything. But the Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje moment. I don't do this.
Yeah.
Right? I did this when I saw it, because it was a combination of Max Holloway, the guy that people say can't punch, doing that to Justin Gaethje, who everybody knows is one of the toughest human beings walking the planet. That combination made me go as I watched. So, yeah, nothing's going to top that for me.
Yeah, I think that was every single one of us around the octagon that when that happened. Yeah. So, and you get the Road Warrior Award, DC. I think you called, if my math is correct, 26 of the 42 UFC shows in 2024. So keep up the great work, man. You've been absolutely killing it. Thank you for joining the show for this discussion. I will take a quick break and be right back to wrap things up. And that does it for another episode of The Bonfire. Thank you so much to Daniel Cormier for joining the show and giving his perspective on another landmark year for our sport. That was a lot of fun, and proud to have a UFC Hall of Famer here on the show for the first time. Hopefully just the first of many, and certainly not Daniel Cormier's last appearance here on The Bonfire. I have one more show coming for you guys this year, and it's going to be something extremely unique. I don't want to say too much just yet, but if you think the real 2024 Fighter of the Year has been determined just because all the major outlets out there, MMA Junkie included, have made their selections, well, I have something that might change how you feel about it, and I will just leave it at that. We will see you back here for the final show of the year, and until then, hope you are all enjoying the holiday season in whichever manner you are celebrating. Know it can be a tough time of year for some people out there as well, if you are one of them. Stay strong, and if you need words to share, my DMs are open on all platforms, so do not hesitate to reach out if you want to chat. But with that in mind, love you all. Thank you for the support as we launch this program in 2024, and we hope for big things in 2025. I will see you all in the new year. Happy New Year, and thank you for watching and for listening.